Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome to episode 325 of Geek Town Radio. It's the first episode of 2022, and I have with me... Matt and Gray. So, how are you doing, Matt? How's things in 2022?
Not too bad of a start. Yeah, I'm doing all right.
Good. How about you, Gray?
I had a brilliant start so far. I started a new job last week, and I am so far really happy about my decision to move to this job. it's so far been a dream start, and I'm very happy. So, yes, I am having a good start to the year.
Yes, and you got COVID out of the way last year, so...
Yes. Start free from COVID, so...
Yes, all good. Excellent. Yeah. I had a reasonable break as well. It's actually been quite long, the break this year, because usually we're back a week before this, but I had something on the Monday, so I couldn't do the show. So we're back a week later than normal. But we are, of course, going to be going through the results of the Geek Town Awards. That's going to be the main thing for the show this week. But before we get into that and some little bits of TV news, what have you been up to over the break? Great, let's come to you first.
So I obviously had a great time being locked in and being able to watch loads. It didn't mean I watched a lot from 2021. I actually dug really deep into the archives and tried to catch up with some stuff that I missed in 2020.
Yes, I've done that. Yeah.
It was quite good. I binged Squid Game in a day. That was quite good, which is obviously last year. But then I was watching some old ITV dramas back from 2020. But, you know, I had a really good time. Over Christmas, New Year, loads of Christmas and New Year specials, you know, anything from the Ghosts Christmas special to, you know, Would I Lie to You? Have I Got News for You? Roundup of the Year. I love catching up on things like that. Big Fat Quiz of the Year. Some of the things I started, and I finished two of these. Girls Five Ever. Yes. I dropped onto Peacock and I thought, oh, I like Tina Fey stuff, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, 30 Rock sort of thing. And it's really funny. I mean, really like out there, absurd funny. Really enjoyed it. Finished that this week. Looking forward to, they've got a second season that's been renewed. I also finished Mr. Mayor. That's the Ted Danson on Sky Comedy.
Also Tina Fey as well, that one.
Also Tina Fey on that one. And I think I've just got one episode left of Young Rock. A bizarre way of doing a comedy, of like that meta narrative about him being a president in the future. But, you know, it's okay. I like the way he breaks up that it's not all told from the same year. Yeah. There's like three different Dwayne Johnsons over time, and that's quite good. Over the weekend, this weekend just gone, I started watching Stay Close, the latest Harlan Coben Netflix thriller with Kush Jumbo. So I'm one episode into that, looking forward to watching that. And I just piqued my interest, I know we've talked about it on here before, American Housewife, the Katie Mixon sitcom that never been over here.
It ran on one of the UK TV channels, and then and then they dropped it, I seem to remember. And then it was on Amazon for a bit, I think, and then they dropped it. And so, but it's now all on, it's Disney Plus.
All on Disney, So I started watching that at the weekend. We were properly laughing at a few bits in the first couple of episodes. So we might do a slow watch of that to just stop me going back to like Friends and Will and Grace, which I've watched about 20 times over now.
Right,
trying to find something different. Then obviously The Apprentice returned this week. I know that we're not huge reality fans here, but it's one of those old favourites. And absolutely appalling first episode. No spoilers, because this happens every episode. You just, all these professional people are absolute idiots. And
yes,
they're supposed to be branding and marketing, and it was one of the worst episodes I've ever seen. So if you have that real passion to watch intelligent people, I'm going to say, fail quite ridiculously, then obviously go and watch The Apprentice, which is on Thursday nights moving forward. And then I'll just wrap up my film review of the year. And I think I was really good last year. I managed to put a movie to every month of the year as the favourite, but I did do December because I hadn't watched enough due to my lockdown. But I did. Day after Boxing Day, I took myself on my own to the cinema, and I am pleased to say that Spider-Man definitely gets the December movie of the month for last month. That is my wrap-up of how I've been going for the last month or so.
Excellent. I've still not got to see Spider-Man yet. I do intend to try and go out at some point. It would be my first cinema trip post all the COVID stuff happening if I do it, but that's the one thing that's pushing me to go to the cinema, because I've managed to avoid most of the spoilers. I mean there's some obvious things that have been out there, but I've managed to avoid most of them so far. But that I do definitely want to try and see, because it's going to be ages before it gets released on home release. It's going to be like March apparently before it gets home release, so I don't think I can wait that long. Yeah, I'm sure I will. I really do want to see it. What about you, Matt?
Watched a film called Don't Look Up, which was doing pretty well on Netflix over the Christmas period. Thought that was a phenomenal bit of storytelling. It's essentially Jennifer Lawrence, Leonardo DiCaprio, and you've also got like Meryl Streep, Jonah Hill. I've noticed that unlike with Gunpowder Milkshake, which I watched 20 minutes of and then switched off, this film with Don't Look Up is a better example of when you've got a stacked cast, like a very, very good cast, give them some actual good dialogue and give them some actual, like, some interesting stories to kind of actually act. But I thought that was a really phenomenal look at how society looks at things today. And it's basically about this comet and how that's going to maybe destroy Earth. There is some parallels to like COVID today and how people look at news and what people do and don't believe and all that kind of stuff, and how scientists are kind of treated as well,
right,
in that sort of space. But I thought it was absolutely phenomenal. It is a little bit long, but it really, really came out very, very strong with that. So I really enjoyed Don't Look Up. I remember mentioning, I can't remember where I mentioned it, but I remember mentioning I was playing It Takes Two.
Oh, yeah.
Just with before the Christmas period. Yeah, with my mum. We finished it yesterday, actually. So we actually finished the game. Really interesting experience, because she does, like, you know, play games on her phone and that sort of stuff. But this is very, very different to something that she's tried before. Because you've got things like rope swinging, rail grinding, third person action.
Yeah.
You've got things like these ice levels. There's lots and lots of like platform jumping and boss fights and all this kind of quite intense things. My biggest issue with the game is that on the main menu and in the pause menu, it very clearly wants to make you aware that the game's got accessibility options. But the options that it's got listed in accessibility options are things that I would just put down to like controller settings.
Right.
So things like inverted controls, controller sensitivity. There's basic things like subtitles, that kind of stuff. And like you can make the subtitles bigger or smaller. But it doesn't have things like a colorblind mode. It doesn't have just useful other things like that. And there's a particular setting in there. I think it's called like a camera follow setting. And you can turn it off, you can put it on weak, or you can put it on strong. And I tried different settings on my mum's controller and on mine, and it didn't seem to make any difference. What I thought that would do is when my mum's going forward and turning left or right round a corner, that the camera would follow her behind so that she wouldn't have to like turn around the corner and turn the camera, all this kind of stuff. But it didn't seem to do any of those things. I don't even know what it actually did. But it's like, if you're going to try to advertise it, you've got accessibility options, but there's not really much here, then you haven't really quite done that quite so well.
Yes.
But we got through it. We finished it. The game's very, very creative with a lot of its ideas, but it's just a little bit wonky with certain things. The story is good. Characters are interesting. Gameplay is very, very good. But it's one of these games that is trying to advertise itself to everybody, like a family-friendly thing. And I don't really think it quite achieves that part of what it's setting out to do. It was still good. I just had some problems with it.
For me, gaming-wise, I've been playing through Wasteland 3, which is quite an old game now, but really enjoyed playing through that. It's sort of a post-apocalyptic nuclear kind of setting, top-down, isometric, XCOM-y type shooter. It's quite good fun, though. Turn-based shooter thing. So I've been playing through that. I actually completed that. TV-wise, though, I'm on the second season of Ghosts, which I'm really enjoying. I know I'm very, very late to this. But yeah, Ghost has been wonderful. I love the first season. I actually watched that in the plane going over to America late last year. I started watching about halfway through the second season. I'm sort of watching that nightly at the moment. So I'm really enjoying that. I did see The Matrix Resurrections, which, having said I've not been to the cinema, that's because I have access to HBO Max, legally have access to HBO Max. They've got Matrix Resurrections on there. So I actually watched that. It's fine. That's about the length of sort of my review for it. I'm not entirely sure why it exists. I mean, yes, obviously it brings Neo and Trinity back to life, and it's the entire thing is basically a love story between Neo and Trinity. That's sort of the thing for it. But it's got Neil Patrick Harris in it, which is always a bonus because he's fabulous. But I don't know. It didn't really grab me, I have to say. I mean, it's certainly not got the weight of the original trilogy behind it. I mean, fine, it exists. It's enjoyable enough. But I think there's much better films out there.
How long is it?
2.5 hours, I think.
Oh. Christ.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a lot to wade through. It's perfectly okay. If you want to get it on home release and you're a fan of The Matrix, it's a fun thing to watch. But I wouldn't say rush out to the cinema to go and see it, particularly. It's perfectly fine, entertaining rubbish, really. I don't think it says anything particularly like the original ones do anywhere near as much. You know, it just doesn't have a sort of message behind it as much as the other ones did.
Do you think the film was a mistake to go back to it? To make this one?
Maybe if they had a bit more thought about it. It goes a bit meta as well, because
I've heard some things, yeah.
Yes, I don't want to go hugely into that without spoiling bits of the plot, but it does go a bit meta in places as well, which is kind of fun. But I think the first Matrix was sort of, you know, there was a backbone to it, which sort of said things about society and how you treat people or you know, that sort of stuff. And I think a lot of that seems to be missing out of the fourth one. It's more just this love story between these two characters, and yeah, which is perfectly fine. And there's lots of nice CGI and it's perfectly well acted. I just don't think it's a perfectly okay movie. It's just not something I would go rushing out to see necessarily. I also started Wheel of Time. I'm about halfway through that. That's the Amazon series. Again, I'm kind of enjoying that. It's okay. I don't really know the books, and I don't know if maybe I'd get more out of it if I did, but it's an interesting enough world. It's sort of female-led to a certain extent because, you know, they're based around this coven of female magic users. Again, I'm sort of working my way through that, so I'm about halfway through that at the moment. We'll talk more about that when I actually finish it. Finished season 3 of Lost in Space, which I really enjoyed. I think they did a wonderful job with that series, and I think it was the right thing to do to sort of end it after 3 seasons, because there's only so many times they can, like, oh, they're lost on another planet again, you know, because it was always set up about they were trying to get from point A to point B and they got knocked off course, and every season they've kind of nearly made it to where they were supposed to be going and then got knocked off course again. So I think there's only so many times you could do that, and I think it wrapped very nicely in its 3rd season. I thought they did a really nice job of pulling that together and leaving the characters all in quite a nice place. Definitely worth watching. It's a good solid little 3 season arc, that. Witcher 2 I enjoyed as well. Finished that. Maybe doesn't quite have as much going for it as the first season did, but perfectly reasonable enough story. I know there was a few people complaining about the fact that they'd kind of strayed away from the books, I think, but you know, I've not read the books for that either, so. And so many people know The Witcher through the video games rather than the books anyway, so perfectly serviceable second season. I'd be interested to see where they go with the 3rd. Book of Boba Fett, of course, started, which again, doing a decent job with that, expanding that character. It's quite interesting seeing dealing with the sand people in that, and getting a lot more into the background of them, which you've never really had before, that's kind of the more interesting bit, rather than it being about Boba Fett. That side of things I've actually found really, really interesting. And Around the World in 80 Days, which I got the final episode to watch of that, but that's the David Tennant series, which has been running on BBC One, and it's all up on iPlayer as well. That's been great. I believe they're doing a second season of that. How, I'm not entirely sure, because you can only really go round the world in 80 days once, I think. There's sort of a purpose to that story.
Do it again, go in a different direction.
Well, yeah. I mean, trip to the pole, maybe, or something. I don't know. That's been really good, though. It's kind of interesting. And one of the episodes when they're traveling across America, it's sort of post the Civil War over there, and you've got a number of black characters in there, so you're dealing with the racism of the South. They're adding sort of various socio-political things. There was like a revolution in France, which they dealt with in one of the earlier episodes, colonization of India as well by the British. So it's got a lot of historical bits which they're mixing in there, which I found quite interesting how they were pushing that together, the whole point of it being a bet, and he's trying to get around the world in 80 days, and he ends up in these various situations as he crosses into various different countries. I've been really, really enjoying that. Either of you seen any of those shows?
I've started Book of Boba. I'm caught up with the two episodes. I started the first episode of Lost in... Well, I've watched the first episode of Lost in Space, season 3. Obviously, I've watched all of The Witcher, did that podcast day for it.
Yes.
Around the World in 80 Days, I've not had a look at. World of Time, I've not had a look at. Matrix, I didn't really have the interest even before. And then Ghosts, I've not seen any of that.
What about you, Greg?
I love Ghosts. I've watched them all, including the most recent Christmas special. The Matrix, I wasn't too fussed about it. A couple of my friends were really into it and really wanted to go. I was a take it or leave it with The Matrix, so I haven't rushed out. And you obviously know my thoughts about all the others. Will of Time, Lost in Space, The Witcher, Book of Boba Fett, probably not my type of cup of tea, but Round the World in 80 Days is on my long list to watch. I was watching something else when it came on over Christmas and didn't get a chance to watch them all. There's a couple of others that were broadcast over Christmas that I'm saving to watch. Now I've got a few extra hours each evening and each morning. I'm going to be catching up on some of the TV programs that were on my long list. So
yes, cool.
Do you think I'd like Wheel of Time?
Possibly. I mean, it's worth a shot. It is an interesting sort of fantasy world, and it is sort of different to, you know, I mean, it's fantasy and magic, and it is different to some of the other shows that we've had. You know, it is its own kind of quite nicely constructed world. It's not grabbing me necessarily quite as much as maybe some of the other fantasy worlds out there, but still an enjoyable enough series, and Amazon liked it enough it's been renewed, so it will be coming back. It's just one of those things that I don't know that well, so I wasn't overly excited for it to come out, which is why it took me a while to get round to actually watching it. And you know, I've been enjoying it. It's just not leapt to sort of, oh, this is amazing, you must go and watch it, you know. It's not leapt to that level for me, but I've been enjoying it perfectly well. I think it's a decent, serviceable fantasy series, definitely. So that's all the stuff we've been doing over the break. Next, we've got some TV and film news.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
So we kick off the TV and film news with the renewals, cancellations and pickups. There have been a number of cancellations over the last few weeks. I Know What You Did Last Summer has been cancelled by Amazon Prime after one season. I didn't hear anybody talking about that. And given that's such a huge brand name, you would think that had a bit more weight behind it. But yeah, there doesn't seem to be much interest in that at all. Julie and the Phantoms cancelled by Netflix after one season. Diary of a Future President cancelled after two seasons by Disney Plus. And Head of the Class, which was a reboot of an old series that was on HBO Max, which hasn't made it over here yet and probably won't now because that was cancelled after one season. Renewals, Why Women Kill was renewed for a third season by Paramount Plus, so that will be coming back. And that aired on Alibi over here, but I mean, most of the Paramount Plus stuff seems to be going back to Paramount Plus, given what happened with Star Trek. So yeah. I suspect that will probably end up on Paramount Plus when the third season lands. Just announced today that Emily in Paris has been renewed for a third and fourth season, apparently. So Emily is spending more time in Paris. Also announced today, Grey's Anatomy has been renewed for a 19th season by ABC. They've managed to convince Ellen Pompeo to sign another one-year deal, because she's basically been signing one-year deals the last couple of years to extend her contract, because she has been making a lot of noise about the fact that she's kind of done with it and wants to get out. But
she's been doing it a while, so might just want to move on.
I mean, you know, maybe they'll make it to 20 seasons, but don't be surprised if Grey's Anatomy comes to an end at the end of the 19th season. It wouldn't be a great shock.
My mum said she was disappointed with the, I don't know if it's this season or the one before, but one of the most recent seasons, she said, was like really disappointing.
So. Right, okay.
Might be in the COVID season. I think they just really struggled, and Ellen Pompeo spent most of the season in a hospital bed. And
I see. Like,
what more could go wrong?
Yeah,
for that
she said it was to do with that. Yeah.
Yeah. So. It wasn't the greatest season, and again, that some people did have real shockers around COVID, didn't they? Didn't quite know how to deal with it. Now it's better. Even though COVID is important to talk about, it's not the focus of the storylines anymore, which I think is better for the show.
Yeah, I like the way The Good Doctor handled it, where it did one or two episodes right at the start, and then they actually had Freddie Highmore come out at the end of that going, right, that was us dealing with COVID. The rest of the season, we're going to be set after a vaccine has come out, and we're going to go from there. And then they just carried on. Yes, people were wearing masks, and, you know, COVID was still a thing, but they were like, we're not going to delve into it anymore. This is, you know, we're going to just carry on moving forward, which I think was quite a nice way of doing it, because it paid, a lot of them are trying to pay some sort of respect to the medical community, which I totally get. You're a medical show, you want to do that, but there are some people that have really wallowed in it, and I think, yeah, that's possibly a mistake. The other main pickup that we've been given a date for was The Boys Season 3. That is arriving on the 3rd of June, which is a way off yet, but they have said Friday the 3rd of June that will be arriving on Amazon Prime. So given there isn't a lot of sort of other news around us, things are still sort of starting to wake up. One of the things we always do when we first come back is talk through the results of the Geektown Awards, which we had thousands and thousands of people voting on the awards this year, which was absolutely fantastic. It was a really good number of people voting across all categories. We got some really interesting results this year. Close call in some categories as well. Some things way, way out in front as well. So it's been quite interesting to see what has landed and where things have landed. We're going to start off with the best new non-sci-fi drama. The top three was The Outlaws on BBC, The Flight Attendant on Sky, and I think rather predictably, Bridgerton on Netflix won that, I think by a fairly sizable margin, if I remember correctly. Thoughts on these?
I respect the top three. Me personally, I would flip it the other way around. I thought The Outlaws, I watched that at the very end of December while I was in isolation. That by far was so well written and with some really quality characters. I know I went on about The Flight Attendant when we were doing the nomination. So me personally, just flip them around the other way around as a top three. But no, absolutely respectable top three for me.
What about you, Matt?
I would just keep The Flight Attendant and get rid of the other two, because I haven't seen the other two. Yeah, Bridgerton was very, very popular, wasn't it? Still is. Obviously, there's going to be probably some more seasons of that.
There are, definitely. Yes, there are. I think they're already ordered. They ordered like two or three more seasons in one go. So.
Yeah, a bunch more of those. Flight Attendant was great. Kaylee Cuoco coming back and everything. Which one's The Outlaws?
The Outlaws is Stephen Merchant one that was on the BBC.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Yes, I still need to go and watch that. I clicked on iPlayer today for about the first time in about a year, I think. And I was like, oh yeah, there's a new Jamie Dornan thing out as well, which I want to take a look at. But so I'll need to go, because I do like Stephen Merchant as well. I liked when he worked with Ricky Gervais and Carl Pilkington. So it'll be good to check him out on that. But yeah, fair enough. Bridgerton at number one. I don't think it's a major surprise.
Vigil was fairly close behind in fourth place on that as well. The other things in that category were Big Sky, Your Honor, Bloodlands, Riley Road, White Lotus, and Professor T and Heels were the other ones in that category. Vigil weren't that many votes behind the Outlaws. And I did think that was a good season. That was the thing on the submarine on the BBC.
Yeah, that was good.
That was best new non-sci-fi drama. Best returning non-sci-fi drama. I thought this might be quite interesting, but the number one spot absolutely crushed everything else. I was surprised that it was actually quite this high, given the ending, let's say. The top three for that were Sex Education at number three, Dexter New Blood at number two, Line of Duty, obviously the sixth season of that, at number one. I mean, obviously you've seen Sex Education because I know both of you love that, but have you seen either of the other two?
I've only seen the first season of Line of Duty, and I think I watched the pilot a long time ago for Dexter, but I really did enjoy this newest season of Sex Education. That was a really, really good time. Line of Duty is very popular and a lot of people really like Dexter.
What about you, Greg?
Yeah, Line of Duty and Sex Education, both fans of. Not watched Dexter New Blood, never watched it in the first place. But remember, this was the category I ceremoniously campaigned for getting rid of Call the Midwife. So I'm glad that went and it gave the others an opportunity to shine through. Line of Duty, I did expect to see that up there. It's a BBC One drama. Everyone can get access to it. And it's just, you know, it gets everyone talking and everyone really enjoys that when it comes on. It's a real sense of community as well, because you go into work or you start talking to your friends about, oh, do you know who H is and things like that. So, yes. Yeah, I'm getting pleased.
Second, third and fourth places were very, very, very close. The fourth place was Cobra Kai. They were incredibly close. They could have really gone in any order, almost those three. But Line of Duty was like 25% of the vote. So it was way ahead of the other three. Dexter New Blood has been really good. Definitely makes up for the season 8 ending fiasco, which nobody was happy with. And it seems to have done a much better job with season 9. I haven't watched the final episode because that only landed over here last night. So I will let you know what I think of the ending of that next week. That has been a really good season. I think they've done a wonderful job sort of reinventing that show. Moving on, we have Best Limited Series. Third place went to The Serpent on the BBC. Second place went to Mayor of Easttown. And first place went to, I think everybody would agree this is the correct answer, It's a Sin. It's a Sin won by a fairly sizable margin as well. I'm surprised to see The Serpent up quite so high, because that was like January last year, I think, The Serpent was out. So it's been out a long, long, long time. Any thoughts here?
I've never seen The Serpent, but I absolutely am so happy with the one and two. It's a Sin in particular, absolutely amazing programme. And that was really, I mean, that was January the 4th, 5th last year, but it absolutely has such an impact on so many people. Happy with that one too. Mayor of Easttown also binged that during the summer as well. So yeah, hurrah, good result there.
Definitely. Matt, you saw It's a Sin, didn't you? I don't know whether you've seen any of the others.
Yeah, I really loved It's a Sin. That was a really like important story to tell, and it was executed very, very well. That's Russell T. Davis, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, he did a great job with that, and glad that won that category.
Yeah, me too, definitely. So that was Best Limited Series. Best New Comedy Series, we have Monsters at Work landed third place, Only Murders in the Building landed second place, and The Cleaner on the BBC landed first place. I seem to remember you saying, Grey, that you didn't get on with... I can't remember...
Yeah, I mean, it was okay. I just wasn't a huge fan of it. I don't know. There was something about... I didn't enjoy it. I would have loved to see Only Murders in the Building in this one. That was my favourite there. But I can understand why people have voted it. You know, it's a BBC drama. It's Greg Davies. He's hugely popular at the moment. He's would have picked up a lot of loyal fans watching it. And it had a real big, good stars coming in as guest people. But yeah, just didn't enjoy it as much as some of the others that were on the original list.
Yeah, Matt, I mean, obviously you like Monsters at Work. Did you watch Only Murders in the Building as well?
I didn't. I kept clicking on it and looking at it and then not pressing play. But but I do very much have the interest still to watch it. Is that renewed for another season?
Yes, yeah. Yes, that is coming back.
Okay, yeah, I definitely do have the interest to watch that. But I really, really love Monsters at Work. I'm glad to at least see it in the top three. And The Cleaner, I never particularly checked out. But it's a good result there for Disney, I suppose.
Yeah, interestingly, I mean, the other things in that list were Mysterious Benedict Society, Dollface, Mr. Mayor, Reservation Dogs, Mighty Ducks, Game Changers, Starstruck, Young Rock, Solar Opposites, Kevin Can F Himself. Kevin Can F Himself actually came in fourth, just after Monsters at Work. Ooh. But there was a reasonable gap between Monsters at Work and Kevin Can F Himself. Quite surprised that Solar Opposites is that much lower, given, although I suppose Monsters at Work is Monsters Inc. and maybe that's why.
Yeah, but a lot of nostalgia and stuff there.
Yeah.
Especially for me.
Yeah. And Young Rock was way down the list as well. But I thought the Young Rock series was great as well. I really enjoyed The Cleaner. I think that was a great series. And Only Murders in the Building was quite entertaining. I mean, good result for Disney Plus. It shows you that being on a streaming service isn't necessarily a detriment at this point, and how many people have Disney Plus out there. Because, you know, it's usually the case that the BBC stuff ranks fairly highly. But then Starstruck was quite a way down the list as well. And that's a BBC show. So, best returning comedy series. Now, obviously, we have a top three here. You're all wrong, because it is, of course, as always, Extraordinary Playlist. But
obviously, yeah.
You know, so, but best returning comedy series. Number three, What We Do in the Shadows, which was, of course, on the BBC. Superstore, which I think partly for proliferation purposes, because it was on ITV. It's also on Peacock. It's also on Netflix now. It's all over the place. You can watch Superstore, the entire six seasons of it. There is everywhere. Number one, Ghosts, the third season of that. Which, I mean, as we spoke about earlier, it's a really beloved show. I was surprised Superstore was quite as high as it was, but I guess because people have caught it on Netflix and Peacock now, rather than it being buried away at sort of, you know, whatever time
it was.
That's
also the last season.
But yeah, that is true. It's the last time somebody can vote for it. So maybe that's also added to it slightly.
That's a show that handled the COVID stuff really, really well.
Especially because
most of the characters wore masks, you know, in appropriate situations for the whole season. And it was, what, a 19-something episode season? So and it wasn't sort of shoved in your face every episode. It was like, it was there, but the other storylines were still ongoing. So they handled that very, very well, I think.
Yeah, I have actually been onto the set. It was filmed at Universal, that. And that was one of the sets when you do some of the studio tours, they take you round. But she did point out the fact that if you actually look around, there are a number of bags that are kind of open on the floor. That wasn't because they're filming something, it's because they have raccoons around the set, and they get into the sets at night, and because they have actual dried food in bags on the shelves, the raccoons used to get into the set and would rip the bags open to get the food out of it. So yes, which I thought was quite funny. But yeah, Ghosts at number one, Superstore at number two, What We Do in the Shadows at number three. I struggled a bit with What We Do in the Shadows, which, given I'm very much the target audience for it, is a bit of a shame. But I need to maybe give it another try.
That's on Disney Plus now as well.
Yes.
And it's still on BBC, so you can watch it in other places, I think.
Yes, which probably helps as well. Grey, I don't know whether you saw Superstore or not.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Superstore. I know that I used to talk to Matt about trying to chase it around ITV2 when they used to put it out and only give six days to watch it.
When the episodes were on there.
Always try to find, is it there? And then, so I was a huge fan. I'd watched it from its very first sort of broadcast on ITV2, and then everyone sort of picked up on it recently. But I think Netflix did put a lot of promo into it. It was one of a really high promo show on like the opening page and things like that. So I really am pleased that's one and two in terms of that. What We Do in the Shadows, I haven't seen the latest one, but I like the one that was broadcast in the middle of last year. I really like Natasia Dimitru, who's also in Statlet's Flats. I think she's really funny. Yeah, so I was a fan of that, definitely.
Yeah, Inside number nine just missed out on, fourth place on that, and Ted Lasso was just behind it. So the other things in that category was Zoe's Breeders, Mythic Quest, Dickinson, Back, Dead Pixels were the other things in that category as well. That was best returning comedy series. Now we get more into the genre stuff. Best new sci-fi fantasy series. We have a top three, beginning with, at third place, Wheel of Time, in second place, place, Sweet Tooth, and in first place, Star Wars The Bad Batch. Other things in this category included Foundation, Invasion, Fate, The Winx Saga, The Nevers, Shadow and Bone, Raised by Wolves, and the three top places. Grey, you've presumably not seen any of these.
Yep, this is where I go quiet and let you two talk a little bit more.
Matt, I thought that was quite interesting. Out of all those shows, the fact that Star Wars is top, I don't think is a great surprise. I was very happy to see Sweet Tooth in second place, though. I really like that. And it was fairly close. I mean, there was reasonable sort of gap between the two, but, you know, it was still relatively close. Fourth place went to Raised by Wolves as well, and that was extremely close between third and fourth place. And given Raised by Wolves was sort of quite early last year, I was surprised that was so high.
A while ago, yeah. Yeah, it's good to see the Bad Batch one. I mean, as somebody who didn't watch all of Clone Wars or Rebels, because that was like it's almost like a sequel to one of those, I think, isn't it, to Clone Wars. As somebody who hasn't got all the way through it was a very approachable series. I really like the characters. Sweet Tooth I've not jumped into yet, but I keep meaning to, and we've spoken about Wheel of Time before. Yeah, it's an interesting category, definitely for that one.
Sweet Tooth, definitely worth a watch. If you've not caught that, it's on Netflix. Really interesting fantasy show based on a comic book, but I'm not going to go into sort of the details about it, but it is a really very well put together fantasy series on Netflix. It's got a second season coming as well, so definitely want to go and check out that returning sci-fi fantasy series. This was quite a long list, but the top threes were Walking Dead season 10/11, because they were both sort of through that year. Doctor Who Flux in second place, and Lucifer actually took the top spot here, which, given we usually traditionally say if Doctor Who is in a category, generally it wins, and it's been in a couple of categories this year and not so much, which I don't know whether that's just because there's more stuff around or whether it says something about the quality of Doctor Who at the moment. And I know a lot of people are very happy that Chris Chibnall is leaving and Russell T. Davies is coming back. I'm very much looking forward to that. Jodie has suffered from Chibnall's writing a little bit, unfortunately. I actually quite enjoyed Flux. I think he fumbled it a bit at the end, but I thought that actually was quite good, a story. He just didn't nail the landing. But of course, it is the final season of Lucifer as well, and there is a lot of love for that show. So I shouldn't be overly surprised that that won this category. And it's nice to see The Walking Dead. People that keep on pronouncing The Walking Dead as being, oh, it's finished, and it still lands fairly high in these lists.
Yeah, still doing well. Yeah. That's great to see. Because that also kind of technically includes those bonus episodes.
Yes, it does.
The special one, whatever you want to call them, the pandemic episodes. But no, Angela, ever since she went into season 9, obviously we've been talking about this for a couple of years now, she's really just basically saved the show, I think, with just helping with a lot of the story and stuff and making things a lot better. The Lucifer thing, it could be a case of, again, another final season thing, because it would have been interesting to see if that was like a fifth season or if it just wasn't the last season, if Doctor Who would have beaten it there. Because you said that was the very last part of Lucifer, wasn't
it?
So
yeah.
That's really interesting. Yeah.
Fourth place was Star Trek Discovery, but there was a fairly sizable gap between Walking Dead in third place and Star Trek Discovery in fourth. And Lucifer, again, quite a sizable gap between Doctor Who and Lucifer as well. So the other things in that category were Servant, For All Mankind, Black Summer, Motherland, Fort Salem, The Expanse, War of the Worlds, Snowpiercer as well were the other ones in that list. Some good shows in there. I mean, not necessarily the ones I would have picked as the top three. I certainly think The Expanse has been doing a wonderful job, and I love For All Mankind as well, but there you go. Best new comic book series, we have a top three, which predictably is very, very Disney Plus dominated. Third place, Hawkeye. Second place, WandaVision. First place, Loki. It was kind of a case of what's going to be top out of WandaVision and Loki, I think, for this category. They were actually relatively close, but Loki pulled ahead towards the end. They were running neck and neck for a while. Hawkeye, I think, gets up there because of the fact that it was recent and on now. Interestingly, Falcon Winter Soldier and What If in this category, quite a way down the list, the fourth place actually went to Sweet Tooth again. I probably would have them the other way around. I probably put WandaVision because I think it was so original. But WandaVision and Loki, I thought, were both great shows.
Yeah, yeah. And I would agree with you. I think WandaVision was slightly better. It did something so different and really blew our expectations when it sort of came out earlier in the year. But absolutely happy with that top three. Disney Plus, absolutely onto a winner. Kevin Feige, onto a winner with all of his spin-offs. I wish you could see our results sort of say Falcon and Winter Soldier didn't work, Kevin. Keep going with the others. But it just makes me really excited about some of the ones who've still got to come with some of the new images of She-Hulk this week and Miss Marvel. There's some really great images coming through of that one as well. So I'm really excited about what they've got coming.
Yeah, it's interesting. We'll get to the most anticipated shows later because that's quite interesting as well. But Matt?
Interesting to see Loki at the top. I enjoyed it for the most part. I thought it started and finished really well. I thought a couple of the Disney Plus shows did maybe have that problem. Like Falcon and Winter Soldier, I really liked how that finished. I thought it started well, but like the middle sagged a little bit. I thought WandaVision was great the whole way through, and I thought Hawkeye was as well. To me, Hawkeye and WandaVision are the ones that I'd probably put at the top. I did end up finishing What If, and I'd possibly put that number three because I really like that, like the final battle and everything there. I thought that was great. So
other things in that list were Resident Alien, Sweet Tooth mentioned, Invincible, Falcon Winter Soldier, What If, Why the Last Man in there as well. Those are the top three were Loki, WandaVision, Hawkeye. Best returning comic book series, your top three for that are Legends of Tomorrow at three, Walking Dead again at two, and Lucifer again at number one. So Lucifer, lot of love for that show, I think. Nice to see that. I mean, Legends was the only DC Arrowverse show that we actually had in the list because it was the only one that I thought was worthy of it this year. It was nice to see that kind of in there as well. Doom Patrol was in that list, Stargirl, and Walking Dead World Beyond as well. Any thoughts on this?
I'm pleased that Legends of Tomorrow got into the top three, even though it was the most bonkers season yet.
Yes.
Just out of interest, in normal years, Dave, when Legends goes up against Flash and Supergirl, did it always outshine the others, or were the others sometimes better than you remember from previous years?
Previous years, I would say Flash or Arrow are usually the ones that have come top, but they really did not deserve a place this year.
Definitely not. I totally agree with you. I gave up on Flash, and I watched the end of Supergirl, which I just think was a bit of a wet ending, to be honest. But, good on Legends of Tomorrow. I do wonder how long they can keep going, though. You know, they're really pulling on the last threads of a storyline with everything they're going through at the moment. And if they change the lineup one more time, it's just going to be a little bit bonkers. But
I don't mind the fact that they changed the lineup so much for that show. It's sort of where the also-rans end up.
Yeah.
And I rather like that about it. And I like the fact that it's not really attached to the rest of the Arrowverse. It kind of goes off and does its own thing. And it's very knowing, and it's like whenever they do a crossover episode and the Legends aren't really involved but one of the characters is, and they were making remarks about, oh, they didn't get roped into a crossover, did they?
Self-referential.
There's a lot of that sort of meta stuff in there, which I really, really like. And again, nice to see Walking Dead still up there. Lucifer, I'm not hugely surprised given that it won one of the other categories. I'm not surprised that Lucifer's up there, it be out now, so we'll be able to see what lands next year, what takes the top spot. Moving on to British TV show of the year, the top three there, that was kind of interesting. Doctor Who in third place, It's a Sin in second place, Line of Duty took the top spot by a very large margin, over nearly 30% of the vote. And I mean, It's a Sin coming in fairly sizably after it, and then Doctor Who, and Call the Midwife actually was in that list. It was in fourth place. Outlaws, Manhunt, The Night Stalker, Vigil, Bloodlands and Professor T also in there. I guess I shouldn't be surprised that Line of Duty is so high. I think it's a shame that It's a Sin didn't win out in that category. I'm glad it got the limited series one, but I would have put it in there as well, I think, definitely.
Yeah, I probably would have given this to It's a Sin. It's just interesting, when you know, when we first did the nominations thing and I mentioned that I hadn't like watched like basically any British TV shows apart from It's a Sin. I know I watched Line of Duty season one this year, but obviously that was ages ago. But it is very interesting, like you mentioned with Line of Duty, that like people didn't like the ending or the cliffhanger. I don't have full references to what that actually is because I still haven't seen it, but it's still won, like regardless of that kind of stuff, which
by
is
by a large
is interesting.
Margin as well.
Has it got another season? I remember they said they were not sure.
It's no. Well, no, that's it's not cancelled. No, it's not definitely ended either. They cast, obviously the BBC would be happy to have it back. The cast would be happy to come back. Problem is, Jed Mercurio, who's the guy that created it, is very busy with other things right now. So it may get rested for a few years. They may bring it back at some point, but at the moment, it's not looking like it's going to return on it for any regular kind of thing. But it may come back at some point in the future. But at the moment, they've left it right now, because that was sort of a conclusion of that storyline that had been running for six seasons.
I just think on a storytelling point of view, I just think It's a Sin did a much better job of Line of Duty. And, you know, that's just, I know it's personal opinion and they're dealing with very different matters. But if we're talking about British TV show of the year, just thinking about that all round element, I would definitely make sure It's a Sin as the top one there.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with you there. I think It's a Sin was an outstanding piece of TV, and I with the best will in the world, I mean, Line of Duty has been great, but he did kind of fudge that ending, and I don't think you can really compare the two. I think It's a Sin was a far, far better piece of drama. And that doesn't mean that I don't love Line of Duty. I think five seasons of it have been absolutely fantastic, and most of that sixth season was great as well. I just think It's a Sin was an outstanding piece of TV. So moving on to best documentary / structured reality series. Top shows we've got there. Third place, Friends, The Reunion. Second place, Taskmaster. First place, by an absolute landslide, Clarkson's Farm came out top. This is your category, Gray, so thoughts?
The only one I didn't put in was Clarkson's Farm. That was added by someone else. I mean, it's interesting. The structured reality seems to come out on top with all the great documentaries that we put in this list as well. But no, fair deal. You know, I've heard a lot of other people have told me great things that Jeremy Clarkson is doing for farming.
Yes.
And so, you know, good on him. And if it's getting that, and is this the first one for Amazon to come on top from all of our lists so far?
Yeah, I mean, it's been lower down in some of them, but I think this is the first win for Amazon.
You know, give it up to Jeremy and his show. You know, if they're doing a great job, they're doing a great job. I personally wouldn't have had it as number one, but, you know, that's just me.
Yeah. Had you watched any of these? I don't know whether you've watched these, Matt.
I watched the Friends Reunion, and I think within this list was the Elliot Page Oprah interview. So those were the only two that I'd seen. Taskmaster, I've seen like bits and pieces of, but I mean, even my uncle watched Clarkson's Farm. We were talking about, well, him and my dad were talking about it on Christmas Day. So, you know, something's done quite well if my uncle's caught attention to it.
It was a really good series, and I was very surprised. I mean, I have zero interest in farming, and I've watched much less of their motoring stuff since they moved onto Amazon. I've seen a few bits and pieces, but I haven't watched that much of it. And so I was like, I'm not sure. But I heard a lot of people talking about it when it came out, and I was like, oh, I'll give it a try. I'm completely addicted to it. It is a superb series, and it highlights a lot of the stuff around farming. And I mean, it's Jeremy being Jeremy quite a lot of the time, but it also does have a serious point to it. And I found that really interesting. And, you know, it's a world that I know nothing about. So I thought they did a wonderful job. The top three really were streets ahead of everything else, pretty much. Fourth place went to the Beatles documentary Get Back. That was a little close to Friends. The other stuff in the list was way, way below it. So those top three were very much out in front. Moving on to best new animated series, the top three for that list was Monsters at Work again, pops back up. Bad Batch again pops back up at number two. Number one in this list goes to Marvel's What If, which was way down in the best comic book adaptation thing. So it's nice to see it landing top here. I think partly it's landing top because it's the MCU and it's an animated MCU. So, I mean, it ended up being a battle basically between Marvel and Star Wars. But, I mean, it wasn't that close at all. I mean, Marvel was way ahead of Star Wars in this, and Star Wars and Monsters at Work were much closer together. Fourth place went to Invincible, you'll be glad to know as well. And there wasn't a lot in it between Monsters at Work and Invincible as well. Did you watch What If, Grey?
I did. And this, when I saw this go up on the website, it was the one I was really surprised about. I was like, I wouldn't have seen this as a top three considering the big list. But then I just thought, are we mainstreaming it with the animations a little bit? Are these the most mainstream? But then actually, no. It's a surprising top three. I liked one and three. I didn't watch Star Wars, but it just surprised me. That's all. That's all I'm going to say about it.
I agree with what you said with the Marvel thing. I think it's because of that brand trust I've talked about before. And yes, this isn't sort of direct MCU, but it's still Marvel. It's still, you know, Disney Plus and all that. And it was like a new, different thing from the MCU, even though I think the MCU is keeping itself fresh anyway with characters like the Eternals and whatnot. This is like entirely different, you know, with the animation and stuff. So I liked it in the end. There was a few episodes that didn't really work for me at all. Although I am getting the Captain Carter figure soon. I actually ordered that, yes. which is great.
Yes,
I think
that's
arriving
been
on Wednesday.
Very popular, yeah.
To get those on Amazon. And for Christmas, I got the zombie Captain America figure.
Awesome.
So I'm going to put those next to each other.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, Star Wars Bad Batch, we already talked about that. That was great. And I'm happy to see Monsters at Work in here again.
Yeah.
Which was great. So
I'm actually, although it wasn't in the top three, I was very happy to see Invincible very, very, very close to the taking that third spot from Monsters at Work. Because I thought Invincible was an absolutely phenomenal series. And it's on Amazon. It wasn't like advertised that well. So I think it's probably bypassed a lot of people. But that was a great series. And that took full spot. The other things in there, Star Trek Lower Decks, Arcane, Master of the Universe, Solar Opposites, again, very low in that list, and MODOK as well, with the other things in there. So, moving on to returning animated series. I mean, this was fairly predictable, these top three, I think. So, third place, Rick and Morty. Second place, Family Guy. First place, Simpsons. I don't think there's a huge amount of shock in any of those. There was, again, a reasonable gap between third and second place. The gap between The Simpsons and Family Guy was closer than you might actually think, because you think that The Simpsons being The Simpsons and 32 seasons in would still be way ahead. But, you know, Family Guy's definitely closing in on it. Fourth place went to Harley Quinn, which was way behind the top three. And they're the other things in that list, Duncanville, Central Park, Solar Opposites, Disenchanted, Love, Death and Robots, Archer, American Dad, Star Trek Lower Decks, Jurassic World, Camp Cretaceous, Harley Quinn were the other things in that list. I think this top three were fairly predictable.
I would have had Family Guy just slightly above The Simpsons, just because I think Family Guy's doing more fresher things. They've got more license with their rating. Yes. Absolutely pleased with this top three. I've watched them all, so
yeah,
very happy The Simpsons won. I've been watching that for a long, long time. I'm still not caught up, but you don't really need to be caught up with The Simpsons. I'm on like season 25 now, so that's cool. Watched a lot of it when I was younger and then dropped off of it for a long time, and now it's on there on Disney Plus. So I think it's a lot better than Family Guy. I know that Family Guy, it's weird to kind of say it, because Family Guy has got a bigger advantage with that it allows itself to do a lot more adult things.
Yes.
A lot of the other shows that you mentioned, like outside the top three, this is a really, really good category. So I'm glad to see some strong animation in here. I did jump back into Archer as well, because that sort of was like not great for a few seasons, but I jumped back to that. I would switch third and second slot around. I did get around to finishing that fifth season of Rick and Morty. I went and found the other two episodes. If you remember, I mentioned that I didn't, recorder stopped like playing them or whatever. So I went and found those two episodes, and that was a pretty good end to the season. So overall, very strong list, but I'm happy that The Simpsons won this, because I've liked it for a long time. So.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, Rick and Morty out of the top three is the only one I watch with any regularity. I still catch episodes of Family Guy sometimes, and I do really enjoy it. And I sometimes watch The Simpsons, but I haven't seen it really for a very, very long time. But I think it's a bit like a comfy old pair. pair of slippers, The Simpsons, at this point. I mean, there are 32-year-old people that have never had a world without The Simpsons, which is ridiculous. So, you know, it has been around for so long. People have grown up with it. It's always been there. And he's still going. So, you know, I think people just love it. Moving on to Game of the Year, obviously Grey will be quiet again at this point. Third place went to Hitman 3. Second place went to Forza Horizon 5. And first place went to Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, which, I guess, again, brand recognition. But I enjoyed it. I liked it as a game much more than you did. Ratchet and Clank got fourth place in that. But there was a reasonable drop-off between Hitman and Ratchet and Clank. Other things in that, Psychonauts 2, Deathloop, Subnautica, Below Zero, Metroid Dread, Oddworld Soulstorm, Life is Strange, True Colors, Little Nightmares 2, and It Takes Two were in there as well. But there was a fair drop off between the top three to the other things. Guardians of the Galaxy was way, way out in front.
I'm going to give that Guardians of the Galaxy game another go, because I just keep hearing about people really, really enjoying their time with it, both like you and people in other gaming groups, and it won this list. And ever since I put the game down and I've just heard more glowing opinions, I'm sort of like, did I not see something? Did I miss something here? Did I drop it too early? All of those are a possibility, but I am going to try it again. Yeah, again, like you said, brand recognition. It's just these lists, because we just talked about the Marvel's What If, which is on the TV side, does prove as well that it's not all just, oh, the MCU's great and that's all that Marvel's good at. Like, they've you know, had the Spider-Man games, and they've had this Guardians of the Galaxy game that people enjoyed, and there was also the Telltale Guardians the Galaxy game, which is great. And then obviously, like, the TV shows, people have really enjoyed those. So when I talk about that sort of brand recognition, brand trust, it's not always just about the films. They're doing really well in some other categories as well. So that's great. Hitman 3, I tried to play that in VR and it was very, very awkward. And then I played it normally and it worked better. Certain games that sort of support VR aren't really sort of configured for it properly. I've noticed a few games like that. But then I played it normally, the way you'd usually play a Hitman game, and it was much better. And I haven't played Forza Horizon 5, but the people that have mentioned playing it have said that they thoroughly enjoyed it. So that could be why.
I've watched over Christmas my two nephews. I bought it for my nephews, Forza Horizon 5. So I have not played it personally, but I have seen some gameplay of it. I mean, it looks beautiful. If you like those sort of racing games, great. And it does an interesting thing with that sort of genre in the way that it's set up. And it is kind of an open world, and you drive from one race to another. And, you know, so there is a sort of interesting kind of story thing going on within it. So I like the fact that they're doing something different with the driving game. I'm just not hugely into driving games, so that's why. But Guardians, I thought Marvel did a wonderful job with narratively with the Guardians. Yeah, I mean, the combat wasn't fantastic, but narratively, it's really fun and it's a great story to play through. And that means a lot to me, you know. And I love the Hitman games as well. I've interviewed the voice of Hitman very many, many times, and
spoken to the man himself.
Yes, spoken to the man himself. He's a lovely, lovely guy. He's out of character, but so I'm very happy with those as a top three. I think they were well deserved. I mean, I still, for me personally, Subnautica Below Zero, just brilliant, but I understand that's a bit more of a niche game.
Right, yeah.
So moving on to movie of the year, the top three we had here was at number three, Dune, at number two, Shang-Chi, and at number one, No Time to Die. Again, I think there's a certain amount of recognition here with No Time to Die. I mean, it was actually quite close between No Time to Die and Shang-Chi, but No Time to Die eventually kind of took over the top spot. I did actually watch this fairly recently, and it's a good, interesting end to Daniel Craig's Bond. I'm rather intrigued, given how that film ends, what they're going to do with the next one.
I can't wait to see what they're going to do.
Are they going to scrap everything and start again, or are they going to bring some people back and just have a new Bond? That's going to be interesting to see where they go with that. I mean, I know obviously they've changed Bond numerous times and they are going to make more of it, obviously, but that goes in a very different direction to the way any other Bond film has ended. So I was really intrigued by where that's going next. Personally, I enjoyed Shang-Chi more as a film. Yeah. I haven't seen Dune yet. Fourth place was Suicide Squad, or The Suicide Squad was in fourth place, but actually fairly close to Dune, very, very close to Dune. Other things in there, obviously, the Eternals, Army of Thieves, Last Duel, Boba and Him Inside, Army of the Dead, Luca, Zack Snyder's Justice League, Jungle Cruise, Venom, Let There Be Carnage, Quiet Place Part 2, Free Guy, Black Widow, Ghostbusters Afterlife with the other ones in there.
By the way, I went and watched Free Guy in between the nominations episode in this one, and I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. That was great. Dune, I haven't actually seen. I keep meaning to watch it. I think it's available on the digital purchase.
It
now.
Is.
I think
yes.
it is. So, I yeah, think. I will try to go and watch that. Shang-Chi, I really, really enjoyed. I'm really happy that, because there was a selection of about five or six films that could have won my film of the year, and No Time to Die was like one of those films, basically. So I'm glad that that won, that I would have been happy with any of the other five that I had chosen as well. But really great end to the that particular side of the Bond franchise, or Daniel Craig's time with it. And I'm really, really curious to see where they go with it, especially with Amazon's purchase of MGM. That could mean like some Amazon content, maybe, because you don't have to just do theatrical James Bond films. Like, could you do a TV show? Could you do a film just for Amazon
stuff? It's trickier with Bond because of the fact that it's not wholly owned by MGM. There is the Broccoli company that is
okay,
that also owns it. So, and they're like very much, no, we're doing theatrical releases. So I don't think you're going to see a Bond TV show anytime soon. I suspect it's going to be kept for theatrical stuff, but we'll see. They never know. They might be able to talk them around in some
There's options, possibly.
Yes, there are other things. Yeah. You could maybe do some spin-off things possibly with it, but probably not Bond directly.
Right.
Which, I mean, that would work. What about you, Gray?
I'm happy with one and two. I haven't seen Dune, so I think I would really the other way around. Shang-Chi, slightly better for me. Really good Marvel film and sort of set off a new strand. So yeah, I'm happy with that. I've heard great things about Dune cinematically and aesthetically being a really good film, but I haven't seen it. It doesn't really spike my interest at the moment. So
what's kind of interesting about this list actually is there were three Marvel movies in it, and they're very, very spaced out. I mean, Shang-Chi is second place, Black Widow is mid-table, The Eternals is dead last.
Oh really?
Yeah, I mean, they're really not a lot of love for that film. I still haven't watched it yet, you know, so I can't ask judgment.
I think it's on Disney Plus on Wednesday.
Right, yes. I was waiting for it to come out on Disney Plus because it's very interesting that, given their Marvel.
There does seem to be either people like me that really, really love it, or some people that just, I didn't care for this. Yeah. I haven't really seen many people that thought, oh, this is like okay, serviceable sort of thing. People seem to either really, really enjoy it or not really enjoy it at all. I don't know.
It was
but then it's like, is that kind of new thing for the MCU as well? So like, how do people take that? Because this is very different to your normal kind of Avengers characters or anything that we've had before.
Yeah, so. And I mean, I've not seen it, but I don't think it quite has the silliness of Guardians, because I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy were not very well known when it was released, and yeah, they were definitely a sort of C-list property of Marvel's, and the genius elevated that, and I think maybe they needed to do something like that with Eternals, and maybe they didn't manage it because nobody knows who the Eternals are, I don't think, outside sort of proper Marvel comic nerds. So maybe it's suffering a bit from that. Whereas, you know, people didn't know Shang-Chi that well, but I think there was a lot more going for it with Shang-Chi, because it's like, it's an easier thing to grasp as well with Shang-Chi, because it is sort of, it's this guy, he's a martial arts expert. It's like, you know, and I think everybody can get on board with that. But there was also a lot of great casting in that. It was Awkwafina, wasn't it, that played the sidekick?
Yeah, she's brilliant. She is so talented.
Yeah, she was really, really good in that as well. And so it was just well cast, and it had some fun to it. And I think maybe possibly that was missing a little in the Eternals, but I don't know. I will pass judgment when I actually see it. Most anticipated categories we've got now. So most anticipated game, there's a certain amount of brand recognition going on, I think, definitely here. Third place, God of War Ragnarok. Second place, Legends of Zelda Breath of the Wild 2. And first place, Hogwarts Legacy, which I think was second place last year, because it, you know, as happens with the games, they were up on there. as well. But they did beat out the two DC games, Gotham Knights and Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, which are also in there. Horizon Forbidden West was in there as well. Dying Light 2, Elden Ring, Starfield, and Kerbal Space Program 2 was in there as well. I don't think it's a huge shock that Hogwarts Legacy is taking the top spot here. I mean, it's a Harry Potter game, and we've been screaming out for a Harry Potter game for years, and there's been a lot of false starts with it, but it looks like it is actually happening now, and they are actually making it, and it is actually coming. There's been trailers and stuff for it, so looks like it could be quite fun and interesting. That A Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, I played the first one, it's fine, but again, I'm not hugely into the Nintendo stuff. I played a bit of God of War, didn't grab me particularly for whatever reason, I don't know why. So
I'm really excited for Hogwarts Legacy, but there's quite a few good games coming out this year that I'm looking forward to as well. God of War Ragnarok, I think it's going to be good. I think the 2018 revival, if you want to call it that, which is just called God of War, I think is a little bit overrated to a degree. I think it's a very, very good game, but I still think that there's just, I don't know, like it, did it win like Game of the Year that year? I think it did. So I'm looking at God of War Ragnarok and thinking, can you do what you just did, but evolve it a bit more and give creators some new things to do? Or is it going to kind of be the same thing again? So we'll see how that kind of works out. We're not seeing like loads of it, so we'll see how that goes. Breath of the Wild, I still think, is the best game on the Switch, up there with like Metroid Dread. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do with the second one. And Hogwarts Legacy, I just think, has so much potential with all the different spells and RPG mechanics you could get. And it's disconnected itself from Harry himself, because it's set in like the, is it the 1980s or the 1800s or something like that? Anyway.
1800s or something, yes.
1800s, yeah. So that will give some fresh ideas and stuff. So I'm very much looking forward to that. Although there's games last year that came out I haven't even quite played yet because I hadn't had a PS5, so things like Ratchet and Clank, so yeah, I'm looking forward to
that,
those.
That's always the problem I have. I mean, when I'm going through this list, half the games in it that I haven't actually played because I either haven't got the platform or I just haven't got around to playing it because, you know, I just haven't because I don't have enough time. So, but yes, I mean, Hogwarts Legacy is certainly something I will be looking out for, definitely. Most anticipated movie. The top spot for this was incredibly predictable, but third place went to John Wick Chapter 4. Second place, Fantastic Beasts, Secrets of Dumbledore. Top place, of course, went to Spider-Man No Way Home. The reason this is in most anticipated is because our awards run from 31st of November through to the 31st of November. So the December from last year falls into next year's awards, if that makes sense. And obviously No Way Home wasn't out at the time when we look, because we run the awards throughout December, so we can't obviously add things in that had launched, hadn't launched prior to December when it comes to TV shows. Obviously No Way Home, a lot of people have seen it, so of course that was going to be top of the list. Fourth place went to Matrix Resurrections, which of course is also out. And fifth place was Jurassic World Dominion. What is interesting is there were a bunch of Marvel movies in this list. Doctor Strange was in there, Black Panther Wakanda Forever is in there, and Thor Love and Thunder is in there, and they're all sort of mid-table. They're still beating the DC movies because Black Adam and The Flash are both in there and they're way down at the bottom, but Batman is also mid-table, so I mean, you know, Batman being Batman, that's still kind of doing fairly well. That actually beat some of the Black Panther around Thor, but there's no great surprise by that. Highly predictable, I think, that Spider-Man was going to be number one in that list. Gray, any thoughts on this?
I'm not really interested in Fantastic Beasts, but definitely John Wick is up there. I've seen Spider-Man Now, absolutely right to be one of the most anticipated. I am surprised. Well, I don't know. I suppose when people have voted, if they watch Spider-Man and then they saw the post-credit sequence, then Doctor Strange would have been up here. But if they hadn't seen Spider-Man when they voted, that's why it's number one. And Doctor Strange is further down. But that post-credit sequence of Spider-Man, that made me really excited about Doctor Strange.
Right. Don't say anymore. Because
I won't say anymore.
What about you, Matt?
Yeah, I echo basically what Grace just said as well, as somebody who's seen that film. I am really, really surprised to see Fantastic Beasts at number two, because whenever I see any online chatter about this film, It doesn't sound like anyone particularly cares, but the Geektown audience clearly does.
Yes.
So maybe it's just like a different audience or something. But I think it's also because of, you know, the incidents with J.K. Rowling and what she's stupidly been saying recently is kind of... It's hurt the whole franchise. But obviously you can disconnect from her and still enjoy the Harry Potter content. Because I'm still looking forward to the reunion, which I think is out on Sky Max, but I'm looking forward to seeing that. John Wick Chapter 4, I'm looking forward to it. I like that action kind of stuff. So I've enjoyed the previous three John Wick films. Spider-Man, obviously, I've already actually seen. But yeah, this is out of all the ones we've gone through so far, this is the strangest kind of result to me, I think. So, and I think somewhat with some of those Marvel films, we need a little bit, because a lot of those we don't have sort of like trailers for, I think, as well. Like Black Panther doesn't have one, and some of the others don't as well. I also think specifically with Black Panther, there's a couple of issues going on with that film. Obviously, you've got to try and work around the passing of Chadwick Boseman, and there's also, I can't remember the name of the actress, but Shuri, they're having some, let's just say they're having some problems with her well. So I'm anticipating that film won't actually be very good, but then again, it's Marvel, so it could surprise me yet again. But that's the one out of all the TV shows and films from Marvel, that's the one thing I'm looking at and thinking, okay, because of these reasons that aren't even necessarily going to be story related or writing related, it might struggle because of them. And it's just a situation they're in.
Yeah. Moving on to the last category, which is most anticipated new TV series of 2022. Again, I think the top three here were somewhat predictable. Although, I mean, yeah, maybe the third place, maybe not so much. But so third place went to House of the Dragon, which of course is the Game of Thrones new show. Second place went to Obi-Wan Kenobi, which is the Disney Plus series, of course, Star Wars. And first place, by a country mile, I seem to remember looking at it, got 36% of the vote over everything else. Top place goes to Lord of the Rings, which, I mean, is a series that we don't even have a name for yet. It's just the Lord of the Rings TV series. But that, of course, is coming to Amazon at the end of next year. There was a bunch of Marvel stuff in here, but all rated lower than all those top three. I mean, there were sizable gaps between that and the fourth place, which was Miss Marvel, actually, was the top one out of Miss Marvel, Secret Invasion, She-Hulk, Moon Knight, and Andor is the other Disney Plus series as well. So yeah, I don't think there's a huge surprise Lord of the Rings is top though.
No, I'm disappointed in all of these. None of them I'm looking forward to.
No, really?
Yeah.
None of them, wow.
No, none of them. Like, I just have such a love for the movies of Lord of the Rings. I don't understand why we're even getting a TV set, a TV show. I'm just happy. Obviously not a fan of Star Wars and the Obi-Wan Kenobi, and not a fan of House of the Dragon either. So yeah, I'm sitting there very disappointed, and probably mine are all from four downwards.
Yes. Quite probably. I mean, Matt, where are you set on Lord of the Rings?
I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do with this. I mean, yeah, we don't have like a title. We don't have... Do we even have any pictures of this thing? We haven't got a trailer.
One vague shot we've had so far.
One picture. One that I can't remember what it was for. But I mean, this has been in production for a very, very long time. And obviously you've got to like... There's a lot of work to be done on something as big as this. So to take all the time you kind of need. I'm really looking forward to Obi-Wan as well, seeing Ian McGregor back in that role and seeing what they do with it. Hayden Christensen coming back, and a bit of a rematch to be had there.
Yes.
As well. So I'm looking forward to that. House of the Dragon, I'm still missing Game of Thrones, just that world, those types of characters. And obviously this is getting into dragons, and dragons are cool, and they've always been cool in Game of Thrones. So I'm looking forward to that. Still a little bit bummed out that they scrap the White Walkers series. I can't remember what that was supposed to be called, but that they're not doing that one. Some of the DC shows that are coming out, I don't know what I'm kind of looking forward to from those. A lot of the Marvel ones I'm really looking forward to, especially things like She-Hulk, because obviously you got Tatiana joining that as well, and you got Jameela Jamil joining that, and a bunch of other very, very important people as well. Be curious to see what Disney does with Moon Knight, because they can't get too R-rated, because obviously it's a Disney Plus platform, but he's supposed to be like a a Daredevil Batman-esque sort of character.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what they do. But I did like the little preview shot that we got of those. They did like a 15-minute thing, didn't they? Where they previewed some of those Marvel shows, and a lot of them look very, very good. But yeah, all in good time. We'll see what they look like. But yeah, really looking forward to seeing what they do with Lord of the Rings.
No, I mean, I am very interested in Lord of the Rings. I love the films, and I think the interesting thing about the TV show is they're not trying to remake the films. It is set in a completely different part of the history. I'm okay with them doing that as a sort of longer form format, but I am very much looking forward to Obi-Wan as well. House of the Dragon, after the final season of Game of Thrones, I don't know. I will see. I don't want to sort of prejudge it. It's a completely different group of people involved with it, so we'll see how that lands. But we'll see. We'll see. That's it for all the main categories. There is one other question which I haven't actually put on the website, which I always ask, which is, what is your favorite TV show? So this is a free text box. They can write in literally whatever they like. So this takes a little bit more organizing, but I have got a top 10 list from this. It's always fascinating to see what people put in here. There is a few sort of interesting, like, little one-offs, and somebody puts The Prisoner in there, or Phoenix Knights, or Dukes of Hazzard randomly. Home and Away, for example. But the top 10 list that came out of this: number 10, Big Bang Theory; number 9, Buffy the Vampire Slayer; number 8, Supernatural; number 7, Line of Duty; number 6, Breaking Bad; number 5, The Walking Dead; number 4, Doctor Who; number 3, Game of Thrones; number 2, Only Fools and Horses. And number 1, I think, predictably, because everybody loves it, Friends. So,
nice.
Yeah, I just thought there is one that stands out there, which is Only Fools and Horses at number 2, I think. But it did get an incredible amount of votes. I remember this wasn't a multi-choice list. This was literally people writing in what they liked as their favourite show. You know, there was no hints, there was no nothing. It was literally a free text box. So, yeah, I mean, I found that kind of interesting. And Game of Thrones being very, very high up in that list. But nice to see Buffy still in there, and Supernatural, and yeah, Breaking Bad being quite high, because it can sometimes feel a bit niche, that show. Even though it was hugely popular, it wasn't as popular over here. So, you know, I'm glad to see that that's in there, because it's such a quality TV show.
I'm currently watching Fools and Horses, actually. I'm on season 4.
There you go.
So you said that was number 2, didn't you?
Yes, that's number 2. Friends number 1, and Game of Thrones number 3.
Nice.
I think it says a lot about our target audience for Geek Town with Only Fools and Horses there. It's absolutely, it's always been a home comfort in terms of, like, when I was growing up, always used to be on in the background, or tune in at Christmas as a sort of family and watch it and see what they were going to get up to this year. So it brings me sort of nostalgic memories of my nan when she was alive, and a good choice for in the top 2.
Definitely agree with you there. So that was the top 10 list for this year of what your favourite TV shows were. Friends is usually in there. Big Bang is usually in there. I think Walking Dead and Breaking Bad are usually in there as well, and Doctor Who. So, but, you know, like I say, there's no set list for this. People just type in what they like. I'm glad that, you know, I'm not surprised that Friends is number 1, but there are worse shows that could be there. So that's awesome. So that's the awards over and done with for this year. We're just going to leave you with some highlights for next week on TV. Highlights for next week on TV: we have Psych seasons 1-8 coming to Peacock. That's on the 11th of January. I think all the seasons went out. I think it was probably on the Universal channel over here. There are some movies. They're not adding the movies yet. They're just adding the seasons. Presumably the movies, which have been on Peacock in the US, will come at some point. But at the moment, things are a bit all over the place with the Peacock scheduling. Things seem to drop out of the sky at random dates at the moment. So 11th of January, if you want to watch Psych, all 8 seasons will be on there. The Shy seasons 1-4 of that are coming to Disney Plus. That's on the 12th of January, which is a coming of age drama series set in Chicago, hence the name The Shy. I think it's been renewed for a 5th season as well. That third season of Afterlife, and the final season of Afterlife, the Ricky Gervais show on Netflix, that's coming on the 14th of January. Then One Chicago returns on the 14th of January as well. That's kicking off at 8 p.m. on the 14th of January with Chicago Med, followed at 9 by Chicago Fire, followed at 10 by Chicago PD. Another new show coming to Peacock, MacGruber, which is, I think, based on a SNL sketch, and I think there was a film. It's kind of a takeoff of MacGyver. It's kind of a comedy takeoff of MacGyver, but yeah, that's coming onto Peacock on the 16th of January. And then the aforementioned The Simpsons returns for its 33rd season. That's coming to Sky Showcase on the 16th of January at 6 p.m. Note, it's on Sky Showcase, not Sky Max. It's only going to be airing on Sky Showcase. That's the only place it's not going to be on Sky Max, only on Sky Showcase, because of something to do with the licensing they did with Disney. I don't know exactly what, but that is what they've said. So Sky Showcase for The Simpsons on the 16th of January at 6 p.m. And then obviously at some point in the future, that 33rd season will go on to Disney Plus as well with all the other previous seasons. So that is everything we have for this week. If people want to find you, Gray, where can they find you?
Come and find me over on Twitter at Gray the Geek. Just see me chatting about TV shows, consumer issues and all of that, and see me being happy about my new job as well. So come over and follow me and give me a follow.
Yes. And Matt, where can they find you?
You can find me over on entertainmenttalk.org. I've been on a podcast break, obviously, because it's been Christmas. There's still been some content getting put out. The fifth season of Classic Reviews, we're almost halfway through that. New episodes come out on Wednesdays. And Month of Positive Creators is back. This year's edition is actually a special ASMR version. So going over some of the ASMR artists that I follow who do very unique and creative content and everything. Still doing TV, games, films, podcasts, main eye podcasts, that sort of stuff. I'm going to slowly come back to start actually recording new content this week as well. If you want to know about some upcoming stuff, I did put a tweet out yesterday, eTalk UK on Twitter, just some information about some upcoming content and that sort of stuff. So Twitter, eTalk UK, if you want to find us, information over there. But the website is entertainmenttalk.org for all those things. So go and check the call that out.
Yep, so go and check Matt out over at entertainmenttalk.org. Other people involved in the show, Bex has been doing lots and lots of stuff. She's over on twitch.tv/TristaBytes, so that's BYTES. You can go and find her over on there. And Daryl, you can go and find on hollywoodnorthnews.net for all those TV series you love shot in Canada. For us, you can visit the website at geektown.co.uk throughout the week and see all the latest air date information. If you want to get in touch with your questions or comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. leave a message on the website post, find us at geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, and on Instagram at Geektown UK. That is everything. We shall see you next week. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real, frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.